Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business, to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero-sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor. With a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine and 17 flavors. 17! So, if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
All right, good evening. Game one in the books. And while there isn't much to celebrate after this one, Royals lose the opener at Target Field. Final score, 8-3. Phone lines are open for you. The phone number, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals lose 8-3 as Brady Singer gives up six runs before he records his sixth out. Tough to overcome that. The Royals certainly capable of overcoming a four-run deficit at the end of the second inning. It's certainly not insurmountable. But for a team that is led and has been led all season by its starting pitcher, to have your all-star caliber right-hander go out there and lay that sort of a dud, to allow the 7-8-9 hitters to jumpstart that inning, it's going to be tough to overcome that, and the Royals certainly unable to do so tonight. They fall back to 11 games above 500. 913-586-7610. Again, that's 913-586-7610. Personally, I have no issue laying this one at the feet of Brady Singer. Again, the game wasn't over. The Royals had plenty of opportunities, or at least plenty of at-bats, plenty of plate appearances to attempt to get back into this one. But we talked about it earlier today on the On Deck Show. This game, in my opinion, or at least, you know, I gave you my thoughts on the On Deck Show. This game today was on the shoulders of Brady Singer and Bobby Witt Jr. Vinny Pasquantino and Salvi and Bobby, you know, you thought when and if you're given the opportunity to drive in a run, when you have a runner in scoring position, well, Lord knows those three have been three of the best in the sport at coming through in the money moments. You knew that those guys would need to cash in on the few opportunities likely given to them by Pablo Lopez. Well, tonight, those three, Bobby, Vinny, Salvi, had one opportunity with a runner in scoring position. Vinny Pasquantino with two on and two out in the fifth inning with his team down four, flew out to center field. That was your best chance, honestly. Now, I know Adam Frazier drives in a run in the sixth inning and cuts the deficit to three 6-3 Minnesota at the end of the sixth inning. Again, I understand that the game was not over. But going into a matchup between Brady Singer and Pablo Lopez, if one team scores six runs, that's a pretty safe bet that team's going to win. As the competition in this home stretch, as the competition begins to improve, right, Minnesota, Cleveland, the Yankees, the Phillies, you're just going to see the best of the best down the stretch. As the competition improves, the pitching on the other side is obviously going to improve. And this Royals team can afford, or I should say, this Royals team cannot afford any sort of regression from this outstanding rotation. It's a lot to ask, but they've been delivering now for 4 months, and it needs to continue for the final two. It did not tonight. I know Brady gave the team five, and he gutted through, blah, blah, blah. He's a pro. We've already learned that about Brady Singer. He's a big league, a consistent big league, above-average starting pitcher. Now, we're past those little checkpoints in the former first-round picks development. We're past that with Brady Singer. It's about stepping up in the big moments. It's about picking up the wins, the big wins, in the big series, in the big games. And tonight he just wasn't up to it. Six runs in the second inning does him and his team in. Throw on top of that, an error from Bobby Witt Jr. with the team again within striking distance. 6-3 in the bottom of the seventh inning, Bobby Witt Jr. makes an error. I think you can attribute both of those seventh inning runs to that Bobby Witt Jr. error. So listen, Brady Singer serves up six. Bobby gives up two. The Royals are never going to win that game. Almost regardless the opponent. Let Brady give up six to the White Sox. Let Bobby boot one and give up two to the White Sox. Royals are going to lose that game. And they did tonight. 913-586-7610. But I am starting to hear the whispers. Seeing the whispers on the text line. Oh, well, the Twins just have our number. Oh, well, the Royals can't beat the good teams. Oh, the Royals can't do this. That's been a mirage. This can't continue. Oh, starting to get a little nervous after dropping game one of this three-game set. Now, maybe I need you to talk some sense into me. I'm not reading much into it. And you could tell me if I'm off base. You could tell me, Vern, you're way too close, man. Vern, you're drinking the Kool-Aid. To watch this game tonight and not come away acknowledging that the Twins are better, Vern, oh, you're watching these games through Royals-colored glasses. You let me know if there's something to read into this. If we're now concerned about Brady Singer down the stretch. If the reason why you lost tonight is something to monitor moving forward. Personally, yes, I know the record. The Twins have won six of the eight meetings so far between these two teams. Royals are 2-6 against the Twins. I'm sorry, but much like I said after the series loss to the Boston Red Sox, right? Royals are 2-4 this season against Boston. And yet, I don't come away feeling as if the Royals are inferior. I'll say the same thing with the Twins. The Royals have lost 6 of 8, and yet, when I watch these two teams, you want to say Minnesota's better? Fine, by a hair. I don't know where, but apparently by a hair. But Byron Buxton's now banged up. Joe Ryan's going on the IL. Or is already on the IL, I should say. No, Correa's banged up. Paddock is banged up. These two teams have now played 8 times this season. The Royals have scored 35 runs and given up 35 runs. Now, you let me know if I'm off base on this. 913-586-7610. I'm not reading anything into it. Awful day from Brady Singer. Forgettable moment for Bobby Witt Jr. defensively. And that really, I mean, I don't even need to mention Bobby's two-run error there in the seventh inning. Brady Singer didn't get the job done tonight. This team, this rotation has seen it give this team a chance to win 90% of the game so far. Now, how many times have you felt in the fifth, sixth inning as if this game's over? Royals have no chance. Honestly, I don't know if you felt that way tonight, only down by three at the end of six. But tonight was the rare game where the Royals starting pitcher just didn't give you a chance to win. Brady Singer allows the bottom of the lineup to get to him as he walks the seven hitter. Two poorly executed pitches to the eight and nine hitters, respectively. A tasty slider into the nitro zone of Willie Castro serves as a three-run home run. And then Royce Lewis, a great battle with Brady there in the second, and Royce wins. He's ready for a fastball up and in, and he got a good one. He blasted it for a two-run shot. Six runs come in that second inning, and the Royals were never able to overcome it. They drop game one of the Twins. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. Text line is there as well. 913-586-7610. We'll take a quick timeout and get to your thoughts right after this.
Breaking ball ripped deep to left field. Larnick turns around, looks up, it's gone! Into the third row of bleachers. Bobby Witt Jr. continues his tear. It's a first inning homer. And two batters into the game, the Royals lead the Twins 1-0.
Home run number 23 on the season for the 24-year-old. Bobby rips a hanging sweeper up. A little in, but you can't throw that spinner up in the zone to this dude. 105 miles per hour off the bat, 401 feet over the wall in left field, just a line drive bullet. Bobby's on pace for a second straight 30-30 season, the first two in Royals franchise history, that would be. He's also on pace to be the ninth player in team history to play in all 162 games, and he's on pace to set the single-season franchise record for both runs scored and extra base hits. Bobby, 1-for-3 with a solo home run, and he was hit by a pitch, hit by a 96-mile-per-hour fastball from Pablo Lopez on the upper left arm. He tells Annie Rogers of MLB.com after the game, the loss hurt more than the hit by pitch. My game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. So yeah, Royals led 1-0 after that home run from Bobby in the first. It would be 2-0 Kansas City thanks to a Kyle Isbell RBI single in the second. But again, Brady Singer gives up six runs before he records his sixth out, and the Royals are understandably unable to overcome. Let's go out to Blue Springs and talk with Aaron. You're on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals lose 8-3. Aaron, how are you?
Oh, I'm probably feeling the same way most Royals fans are right now. After that great start with the 2-0 lead, I can see how a lot of the fan base can feel down after losing a game like that, because we know like the weight that it brings. But and I know Brady's feeling the weight too, but I'm going to keep this short and sweet, Josh. I appreciate you taking my calls when I call in and everything.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't know if Cole and Seth listen to the post game show. I hope they do, because I'm trying to pump you up a little bit, but you give great advice and you've got a great baseball mind. But
what would you say to Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans if they're listening?
If there was any point that we need them this year, it's right now. I know I've called in the past and talked about how it being go time, and especially when you're playing two division teams like the Guardians and the Twins that are ahead of you, but these series are huge. That if there's any point in a season where we need them the most, it's right now. And I have the outmost faith in them by watching them two pitch this year.
Understandable. Yeah. Aaron, I appreciate the phone call. Seth Lugo on the hill tomorrow and then Cole Reagans in the finale. I'm with you as far as having the utmost confidence in those two all-star pitchers. But let's remember, following this series in Minnesota, the Royals still have 13 more series. And Aaron, every one of those 13 series, in my opinion, will be bigger than this one. Tomorrow's game is bigger than tonight's. Wednesday's game is bigger than tomorrow's, and so on and so forth. Every game's bigger than the last. Every series is bigger than the last. Every game is the biggest game of Cole Reagan's life, Brady Singer and Bobby Witt Jr.'s lives. Mikel Garcia and Vinny Pasquantino and Michael Massey and MJ Melendez and Kyle Isbell, these guys have never played in bigger games. So eventually, not you, Aaron, but someone in my position, someone that hosts on television, radio, whatever, talking to the people. We can't daily say this is a must win. This is the biggest game ever. Let's just acknowledge that they're all huge and they're only going to get bigger moving forward. When you're in a chase, I understand it's been a while, but when you're making a playoff push, there's never a moment where you can coast. Now that three-game series coming up this weekend in Cincinnati, the three-game set at home against the lowly Los Angeles Angels, that's not something where, you know, Aaron, you're going to call in before game one and say, oh, okay, we don't really need Reagans and Lugo to be great here. This game doesn't mean as much as the one a week and a half ago in Minnesota. You're not going to say that. Even if the Royals win tomorrow, win on Wednesday, and sweep that series in Cincinnati, the Angels series will still be the biggest games of the season, the biggest games of Brady and Bobby and the rest of them, the biggest game of their lives. Because as the number of games begin to dwindle, the pressure, the anticipation, the nerves, the anxiety, the eyeballs, the microphones, the cameras, the lights, it's only going to grow more and more moving forward. So, sure, yeah, listen. If I had a message to Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans, it would be, go get them. There's no need to build the game up any more than it already is. There's no need to say, oh, I need you tomorrow. No, you need Seth Lugo every fifth day. Just like you need Brady Singer and Cole Reagans every fifth day. Just like you need Bobby and Vinny and Salvi almost every single day. Because at this point of the season, it's about your strengths being strengths and your stars performing like stars. Bobby's in an MVP race. If he wants to win that MVP, there's no moment where he can coast. Royals are five games back of Cleveland. There's no easy series or unimportant series. Lugo's start tomorrow is without question important. But then when he opens up that series against the Angels, that's going to be big. When he pitches at home against the Philadelphia Phillies, you're telling me that's not going to be huge? Five games after that, after taking on the Phillies at Kauffman Stadium, Seth Lugo's going to face the Cleveland Guardians in Cleveland. And then he's going to face Cleveland again at Kauffman Stadium and then pitch in New York against the Yankees. And again, this is all based on him staying healthy. But I mean, that stretch I just mentioned only gets you until the middle of September. Guys, this feeling in your stomach, if this one really hurt you, the feeling of exhilaration you had after the Royals took that 2-0 lead early on, The pain that you felt after Royce Lewis made it 6-2 Minnesota in the bottom of the second? Now, that whirlwind, that roller coaster of emotion, hopefully sticks around for like 2 more months. 2+ months. 2.5 more months of every day stressing about the bullpen, worried about the starter, hoping that Bobby and Vinny can be clutch. Well, buckle up, my friends. It's only starting. Yeah. 913-586-7610. Text line is there for you. 913-586-7610. 913-586-7610. Ryan and Lawrence writes in, Vern, Brady Singer can go south quickly when he fails to hit the edges. Yeah, listen, you know, to me, when I look at what Brady did tonight, you know, he retires the side in the first, you know, works around an infield single, but picks up 3 punch-outs in the first. A hard hit line drive out from Byron Buxton is the first out of the second, and then he strikes out Max Kepler with a sweeper. It's 6 up, 5 down. 4 punch-outs. Singer's looking good, feeling good. But you start to wonder, was he already making his way to the dugout when he allows Carlos Santana to draw the walk? When he doesn't put Ryan Jeffers away when he is ahead 0-2? And when he lets the number 9 hitter square him up with a fastball in the middle. Then all of a sudden, Brady's reeling. And now he's got the top of the Minnesota lineup coming up. And just a poorly executed slider. Left up and in the nitro zone to Willie Castro. And then he's just getting tagged for the rest of that second inning, really. So, yeah, I don't know so much of it was command. You heard Rex Hudler on the broadcast wonder about the focus of Brady Singer in that second inning, and I think that's fair. Brady's done enough this season and throughout his career that, you know, we can hold him to a different standard. Now, this isn't year 2, year 3 Brady Singer. This is year 5 Brady Singer in a playoff push for the first time in his career, the thing that he has waited for. Since draft day back in 2018, he's been waiting for this, and he had the opportunity tonight and let the bottom of the lineup beat him. Now, like you said, Aaron, nobody's beating themselves up more than Brady Singer is after this one. So, understandably, no need to, in my opinion, no need to pile on. A guy came into the day with an ERA just above 3. Following that 6-run, 5-inning effort, Singer's ERA balloons to just a shade over 3.3. He's still been a net positive, but he was, just like Cole Reagans was on opening day, out-dueled by Pablo Lopez in the Royals' fall 8-3. The boys are still on pace to win 88 games this season, and they sit just 5 off of the pace of the first-place Cleveland Guardians. All right, 913-586-7610. We go back to the text lines. Always open for you. Mike in Lenexa says, Vern, admit it, Minnesota owns the Royals. Now, Mike, I mentioned that in the open, man. I'm not an idiot. 6-2 is really good. But I cannot fix my lips to say that the Twins are better than the Royals. I'm not going to scream that the Royals are better because I would sound like an idiot, right? When your team's 2-6. But in watching these 8 games so far, I don't come away, especially knowing that Joe Ryan and Byron Buxton and Carlos Correa are all banged up, knowing that the Twins are going to a highly touted, fast-rising prospect tomorrow, but a kid making his big league debut going opposite of a Cy Young Award candidate. Bailey Ober waits in the wings. He's having an outstanding run right now. Now, I respect Minnesota just like I respect the Boston Red Sox. I think those are two very good teams, but I think the Royals are a very good team too. The record won't allow me to say that the Royals are better than those two teams, but I certainly don't feel as if they're inferior to those two teams. And again, I'm sure you're not interested in it, but the run differential tells the story. Right? It's an even split between these two teams. Again, Royals have scored 35 runs this season against Minnesota and have given up 35 runs this season to the Twins. I mentioned Boston. Boston wins 4 of the 6 meetings. Boston's outscored the Royals by a grand total of 2 runs in those 6 meetings. Baltimore. Baltimore won 4 of the 6 meetings between the Royals and the O's. Baltimore outscored them by a grand total of 2 runs total in those 6 games. So, sure, maybe. If you want to say the Royals can't beat good teams, you know, I mean, it's factually incorrect, but if you want to talk about series, right, you need to win these series. You know, I can't fight you on that. It's been a while since the Royals made a loud statement with a series victory. You could probably have to go back to that Cleveland set where they took 3 of 4. But as someone that watches every pitch of every game, that sees those numbers jump off the page at you when it comes to the run differential. Boston, Minnesota, Baltimore. Yeah, these teams are all playoff quality. But the Royals can stand, in my opinion, can stand shoulder to shoulder with all of them. You let me know if I'm off base. The Royals, by the way, on the season, have a run differential now of plus 91. That plus 91 run differential is by far the best in the American League Central, and it stands as the fifth best right now in Major League Baseball, behind only the Yankees, Brewers, Dodgers, and the aforementioned Orioles. Royals lose tonight. They drop Game 1 of the Twin Cities, 8-3, the final score. We'll get back to your thoughts and head inside that Royals clubhouse right after this.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a ball well hit. Deep left field. MJ back leaping, and MJ made the catch. What a play by MJ. And the teammates all tipping their cap to MJ Melendez, who robs Austin Martin.
Steve Stewart on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. The second out for Carlos Hernandez in his first inning back from Omaha. A 1-2-3 sixth inning for Carlos, highlighted by a 99-mile-per-hour fastball that Ryan Jeffers just stared at. But defensively, yeah, the highlight right there, MJ Melendez robbing Austin Martin of at least a double. Maybe that ball somehow finds itself hopping over the fence, but certainly would have been a one-out double for the top of the Twins lineup in a game that at that moment, bottom of the sixth inning, Royals just scored in the top half to cut the deficit to 3. 6-3 Royals, and MJ makes sure that the score remains right there. Unfortunately, close. Bobby Witt Jr. makes an error in the seventh inning, and the Twins score 2. That's how we arrived at our final score, Minnesota 8, Royals 3. Royals drop game 1 of this 3-game series, and now sit 5 games back of Cleveland in the American League Central. 913-586-7610, that's the phone number. 913-586-7610. I want to hear what Brady Singer had to say after this game. Brady goes 5, gives up 6 runs on 8 hits. All 6 runs and 5 of the hits come in that second inning. An inning in which Brady needed 34 pitches. He faces 9 batters. 5 hits, a walk, and 6 earned runs. Singer takes the loss. He's now 8-8 on the season. Here's what he had to say afterward to Bally Sports Kansas City.
That's the inning that kind of, you know, messed up whole night. Obviously, would like to have it back, and you know, got in a jam there, and just trying to get out of it, and you know, gave up two big hits there.
The walk, I mean, all of them came with two outs. All those runs came with two outs, but the walk to Santana, were you trying to get him to chase down and away?
Yeah, and trying to, he's obviously really good at not chasing. You know, should have stayed in the zone a little bit more, and yeah, they kind of, you know, spiraled the whole inning there.
How do you kind of rebound in going into the third and the fourth innings there after a long second?
Yeah, just try to keep us where we are. You know, obviously the damage has been done, but try to, you know, keep us in the game there and get deeper in the game, deep as I can into the game. You know, try not to, you know, put a lot of innings on the bullpen there. So, yeah, just try to, you know, kind of reset the outing.
Are there any conversations with, like, Brian Sweeney's at both that you can use to kind of get back and reset?
Now just stay in his zone, you know, trust your stuff in his zone, go out there and attack the hitters and try to get quick outs. Obviously the pitch count was a little high, you know, after the second, so just try to have some quick innings.
Like that, the Lewis homer was kind of a sinker in. Were you meaning to go there with him?
Yeah, I think we're, you know, trying to get in there, obviously. He's good at hitting inside, you know, fastballs and, you know, trying to get it off the plate there, trying to get a chase and just, you know, caught a little bit too much plate there.
There you go. Brady Singer following his nine strikeout performance. Yeah, struck out three in the first, two in the second, another in the third, another in the fourth, two more in the fifth. Nine strikeouts makes him the 14th pitcher in team history with 600 strikeouts in Royal Blue. Brady's the fourth pitcher this century to reach 600 strikeouts with the Royals, joining Luke Hochaver, Zach Greinke, and Danny Duffy. All right, let's go to the text line, 913-586-7610. Toya from Leavenworth. Vern, overall, I'm so thankful we have an enjoyable team to watch. I'm curious what you think about this fella Kyle Wright and how much we might use him next year. Any insights? Little off topic, but I'm curious. Ideally, he's fighting for a spot in the rotation next year in spring training. Yeah, I would like to see him and Alec Marsh and Chris Bubich battle it out for those final two spots. Throw a Chandler Champlain in there. Right, next year, you know, it's going to be Reagans and Singer and Lugo. Well, maybe Michael Walker returns. But you know you have your big three. You know, barring a trade, maybe you move a Brady Singer. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's certainly a possibility. But Singer, Lugo, Reagans, and then there'll be two spots up for battle in spring. You really want Alec Marsh to win one of them. Well, what you want is a great competition between Marsh and Bubich and hopefully a healthy Kyle Wright. And who knows who else could surprise or who could be added this offseason. Toya, thanks for listening. A way to stay locked in as well. Thinking about Kyle Wright. I like it. Ryan from Olathe says, Vern, I've been ripping Carlos Hernandez up and down all season, and I very well may be ripping him by the end of this week. But I'll give him props. Carlos looked all right tonight. He was locating well enough, and... yeah, without Bobby Witt Jr.'s error. Yeah, sure. Yeah, you can. Now you're being awfully generous, Ryan, and you know it. And I like it. Because I wasn't really going. I mentioned Carlos, I guess. No, I wasn't going to give him much attention. I'd like to see a few solid weeks from Carlos Hernandez before I get even remotely excited. With all due respect, I mean, yes, he's a big leaguer and just fallen for it so many times. Gotten excited so many times in the past. I'm not doing it. Not doing it. Anthony in Blue Springs. Vern, when our best pitchers are struggling, our offense has to pick them up. Our offense has to cover these starting pitchers. Yeah, it's easier said than done, Anthony. I mean, they scored three runs off of Pablo Lopez. I don't know how much more you were expecting. Three runs off of Lopez and six innings of work? I would have signed up for that before the game. Offense did its job. Again, Bobby, Salvi, Vinny had one opportunity with runners in scoring position. They went 0-for. Vinny flew out there in the fifth inning. But it's like mentioned on the On Deck show. It's going to be slim pickings when you're going up against one of the best in the game. And it was. Royals, for the night, had what, six opportunities? Yeah, 2-for-6 with runners in scoring position. All six opportunities came against Pablo Lopez. So the Royals had chances, capitalized on those chances. But your two strongest facets, your rotation and your defense, helped to serve up 8 runs to the opposition. And in a battle of top-notch right-handers, if one gives up 6, he's likely going to end up on the losing end. And that's exactly what happened. Oh, I lay no fault at the feet of the offense. Not tonight. No, this one's pretty simple. This L is saddled on Brady Singer. And he didn't sound like he was defending himself. You know, when you heard him there talking with Annie Rodgers and Jalen Thompson. Raj in the Ozarks, still all fired up about his guy, MJ Melendez, says, Vern, I'm such an MJ fan. I'm a bigger Melendez fan than I've ever been. What MJ do tonight? 1-for-4, reached on an error, reached on catcher's interference. You can make a case that the Twins gifted the Royals that second run because of that leadoff base runner, courtesy of a catcher's interference. You could make that case, although I do feel like it would be sliding Mikel Garcia and Kyle Isbell. If you missed it, Royals are up 1-0, and MJ Melendez leads off the inning by reaching on catcher's interference. Hunter Renfroe then strikes out swinging through a sweeper, but Adam Frazier puts the ball in play. It's a fielder's choice, but man on first now with 2 outs. Mikel Garcia battles an 8-pitch at-bat against Pablo Lopez, and he shoots a fastball up in the zone. He shoots it to the opposite field, the classic Mikel Garcia base hit. And then on a 2-2 pitch to Kyle Isbell, Izzy stays with the breaking ball down in the zone and rips it into right to put the boys up 2-0. Isbell would go, 3-for-4? He's the only Royal with multiple hits. Izzy's third straight multi-hit game. But yeah, Raj, MJ in his second at-bat would hit a rocket up the middle, unfortunately right at the shortstop. But then he battles in his third trip to the dish. 7-pitch plate appearance. And he smacks a sweeper that's out over the plate, smacks it into right center field for a 1-out hustle double. Adam Frazier would drive him in a few pitches later. And then in his final trip to the dish, MJ Melendez, 9-pitch battle. But he loses said battle, and he goes down swinging through a changeup. Swinging through a 93-mile-per-hour fastball. It was Renfroe that went down swinging through a changeup. So yeah, of the 4 trips to the dish, I would say that MJ certainly has nothing to hang his head about. Even in his strikeout, he's going 9 pitches deep. MJ's last 2 months, he's hitting .278 in his last 2 months of baseball. OPS of .854. I like it, Raj. What I don't like is, you said a few weeks ago that the key to the second half, the key to the playoff push, is Brady Singer. Rough one tonight for Brady. Let's hear from the opposing starting pitcher. Here's what Pablo Lopez had to say to Bally Sports North about his performance tonight against Bobby Witt Jr., who took him deep in the first, and then he hit him in the fifth. Let's hear what Pablo Lopez had to say about his night.
It felt really good. Physically, one of the best outings I felt with my stuff-wise. I felt everything was moving the way it was supposed to. Everything was sharp. I had good velo. But, that first inning, the Bobby Witt Jr., I'm not supposed to throw pitches like that to any big leaguer, let alone Bobby Witt Jr. with such a talented player. Those are the kind of players you want to watch on the field. So it's a challenge. You got to make your best pitches every single time, and you know, giving a hittable pitch, and that's what he does. So after that, it was just a matter of like reminding myself it was not the pitch selection, it was the execution. Just got to be better. Just got to execute better. That second inning, they put up some really good at-bats, made me work, made me come into the zone. They made stuff happen, and you know, after that inning, we come in and we score all those runs, and I mean, obviously, I really appreciate that, and anyone on our pitching staff would. It just made me want to be back in the zone. So the next few innings, my mentality was, we score, they done. You know, first pitch, strikes, attack. Perhaps a little too much zone in some pitches. So there's a fine line between wanting to attack, but then make a good pitch in a pitcher's count. So there's always something to learn from each star. So I feel there were times I could have expanded better. But for the most part, I'm happy that I was able to take care of my pitch count. So I was able to go deep.
Yeah, he was giving the Royals a lot of credit for their battling with two strikes. Here's Pablo Lopez again to Bally Sports North. Nope, guess we don't have that. Let's hear from their manager, Rocco Baldelli, talking about the aforementioned Bobby Witt Jr. and the show that he and Royce Lewis put on early on. Bobby with a 401-foot blast in the first inning, and Royce Lewis with a no-doubter, an 8-pitch battle with Brady Singer. He wins it. Oh boy, did he ever. A tasty fastball up in the zone. Royce Lewis, Bobby Witt Jr., the game is in good hands. Rocco Baldelli.
Yeah, there are some amazing, amazing young players in the game right now, and those would be two perfect guys to start that conversation with and use as those prime examples. And the ability for these guys to develop at such a young age, the game is, you know, over the years has changed in a lot of ways. The pitching that the hitters are facing these days is almost not believable. You gotta you know, come to the games, you know, come see it close up because it's something else. And these guys are they're doing special things on a nightly basis. You know, the number of times they find the barrel, how hard they actually hit the ball so consistently. They're doing it, and we saw it today. You know, Pablo went out, had a really nice game for us on the mound, exactly what we talked about pregame that we were looking for, really, with him. Just a solid outing. But you're also running to Bobby Witt, who's, you know, never going to make life easy for you. And he hits line drives that just don't – they just keep going. And you look up, and you kind of – you see it while it's hitting, until, you know, 105 or whatever it is. And They take off more like golf balls than baseballs, and they just end up in the seats. Royce does things like that too, and Royce comes up in a big moment for us. He's got a great ability to create torque with his swing. He can hit the ball hard, and he's got a great plane for just finding the barrel all the time. You know, on a at a high rate. So if you want, you know, fireworks, those are two good players, and you know, you look up on the. You know, you see how much war they put up. I don't know if you know, everyone listening cares about that, but I care about that. And you know, you see a number like 8 up there, and it's like, what? You know, it's like that doesn't even make sense. But he's been doing it all year long, and our guy's going to have some runs like that in his career too. He's doing it right now for us, and he's playing great.
They are two guys that are easy to root for: Bobby Witt Jr., Royce Lewis. Bobby tonight 1-for-3, so his batting average falls to .347, still best in baseball. He scored his 101st run. That's the most in baseball. He picked up his 165th hit, most in baseball. He's top 5 in RBI, top 20 in home runs. One of only 4 players in the sport with an OPS north of 1,000. And only Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani have more extra base hits than Bobby Witt Jr. All right, let's head up to Liberty, talk with Klaus. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hi, Vern. A couple of questions. Do you think that Valley Sports will be the broadcaster of the Royals next year? And also,
I have no idea.
Do you think that Rex Hudler and Jake Eisenberg will be their broadcasters?
I would think so. I mean, I'm in Certainly not privy to any information. Appreciate the phone call, but I would certainly expect it. Jake Eisenberg, I can't imagine that the Royals are going to let him go anywhere. And Rex Hudler is a Kansas City treasure. You better hope he doesn't leave the airwaves anytime soon, because he's dropping knowledge on a nightly basis that I hope you're picking up. Nice to hear from you. With the loss tonight, the Royals are now 2 games below 500 on the road this season, 27-29, with a run differential, though, a positive run differential of plus 27. All right, what else do we have from the text line? 913-586-7610. Our buddy Scott from Phoenix writing in. Vern, not a good look to start with what is now the biggest series of the season. We still have a chance to win the series, but starters must give us some length, and the offense needs to pick it up. I agree with you as far as length. I'm with you, no doubt. Yeah, Lugo, you used Hernandez and Zerpa tonight. So you still have your big two? You still have Lucas Urseg, good to go tomorrow. Sam Long, I guess, is your number two. Chris Bubich is your number three. Yeah, so if those are your top three options, they're all certainly available tomorrow. As far as the offense needing to pick it up, okay, yeah. Listen, tomorrow I want them to beat up a kid that was in A-ball to start the season. But I thought the offense did enough tonight. 3 runs off of Pablo Lopez. They capitalize on an error. Offensively, in my mind, Scott, I think the Royals' offense did enough to win. I do. Rally Mantis is on the text line, loving on Kyle Isbell. Understandably so. Since the start of June, Izzy's OPS is 771. All right, I mentioned Pablo Lopez was loving on the Royals' two-strike approach. Let's hear what the all-star righty had to say.
Falling off and making you work.
Yeah, no, they were tough. They were tough. They didn't seem eager. You know, sometimes you sense when a batter might be eager, and so you can expand early and often. They seem very composed. Maybe they had a good plan. So whatever plan they had, they stuck to it, and, you know, they made me work. I mentioned that I could have expanded better. There were also a lot of good pitches that they fouled off to put in play. So you just got to recognize that and then just battle. There were times I didn't want to be too much in the zone, but they were ready for it, and there were times that they were just looking really, really good on my stuff, and it's just a battle. You got to enjoy those battle sometimes, like, gosh, you're making it tough. I'm going to give you a better pitch right here, right now.
Yeah, does it sound to you as if the Twins feel superior? No, that to me, and maybe they're just pros, and obviously Pablo Lopez and Rocco Baldelli are pros. They're 6-2 against Kansas City, and yet they have given up the same amount of runs to Kansas City as much as they've scored against Kansas City. You hear a lot of respect coming out of that clubhouse. And on this postgame show, right, I think I'm spewing plenty of respect towards the clubhouse of the Twins and the Red Sox and the Cardinals. The Mariners, whoever else you want to throw out there. As a team that the Royals, we just can't beat them. Can't beat them in a series, whatever it might be. Now, the record is what it is, but I don't come away from tonight, I don't come away from this season series between these two teams, at least not yet. I don't come away saying, well, they're clearly better. I go back and I watch those losses the last time these two teams met at Target Field, and you know, someone on the text line mentions it. You know, it never feels as if the other team just throttled the Royals. It always feels as if the Royals are beating themselves. And Texter, I would agree, and I would tell you that's a reflection of a good team. Now, when was the last time the Chiefs lost and you said, oh, well, I mean, they played their B+, they played their A- game, and they just got beat. And how often does that happen? No, when you're a good team, you dictate the action. When you're a team like this Royal squad, led by its rotation, defense, and base running, boy, oh boy, do you dictate the outcome. You're in charge of the game, and that's why this rotation, which ranks still top five in baseball, that's why this rotation, defense, and base running, it's the ultimate leveler of playing fields. And when you have an elite rotation, you're going to give your team a chance to win more times than not. They've certainly done that this season, and by my estimation, it's north of 90% of the games this year, Royals starters have given you a chance to win. And obviously, you've won a majority of your games. Now, 65-54 following tonight's 8-3 loss. I see Terry in Green Bay hitting up the text line. Terry says, Vern, I can't complain about the bullpen tonight. They only gave up one earned run in three innings. Yeah, that's true. I certainly wouldn't call them any, high leverage. You're down by three. You're down by five. No complaints about the bullpen tonight. From the 785, Vern, did Bobby Witt Jr.'s error happen after he was hit by a pitch? Yes. Yeah, he was hit by that 96-mile-per-hour fastball in the top of the fifth, and he made the error in the bottom of the seventh. My opinion, it had nothing to do with the hit by pitch. It had to do with something that happens to every big leaguer. He was looking upfield before securing the pass, right? He was starting the double play before he secured the ground ball off of the bat of Royce Lewis. Oh, just moving a little bit too quick. I don't think the game was moving quick on him. I think his greatness just had him moving a little bit too quick. First out sure, second one quick. You've heard Rex Hudler say it now for decades. Bobby didn't make the play tonight, bottom line. Sloan writes in, Vern, Pablo Lopez saying they made me work makes me so happy as a Royals fan to hear, because those are the type of at-bats that will win in October. Those are the type of at-bats that will grind us to a blue October. Signed, Sloan. Sloan, appreciate it. Tomorrow, it'll be Seth Lugo on the hill, your all-star right-hander, looking to even this series up at a game apiece. He'll square off with Zebby Matthews, a young man making his big league debut, a young man that started the season down in A-ball. Always tricky with a kid making his big league debut because he doesn't know what he doesn't know. He's going to black out for three innings, and if he comes to and things are going good, oh boy, things could get really, really interesting at Target Field. Thanks to Nathan Williams for the help back at the studio. Appreciate it. Thanks to you for listening. I'll talk to you with your chance to win Royals tickets on the On Deck Show Tuesday, 5:30 on 610 Sports Radio. Enjoy the rest of your Monday night. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's post-game show.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero-sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
SpringFest is happening now at Lowe's. Keep the spotlight on your yard with Stay Green Premium 2 Cubic Foot Mulch. 5 bags for $10. Plus, when you want more help indoors, get up to 40% off select major appliances that help you supercharge your chores. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 4/22 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
How would you describe yourself? Fun? Sporty? Bold? If that's the case, meet the Kia K4 hatchback, made for motion, adventure, and whatever you might decide to bring along. Or would you say you're more smooth, sleek, refined? If so, there's the Kia K4 sedan. Calm, confident, and ever so modern. Two personalities, two available turbocharged ways forward. The Kia K4 GT Line Turbo and the K4 Hatchback GT Line Turbo. What turbos you? Turbo is available on select K4 trims.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Breaking news from Good Ranchers. Over 85% of grass-fed beef in stores is imported. Most grocery store meat contains antibiotics, hormones, and harmful seed oils. Good Ranchers does things differently. All their meat is born and raised on local American farms. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no seed oils. Just one ingredient, meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and get $25 off your first order with code RANCH25. That's code RANCH25 for $25 off your first order. GoodRanchers.com. American meat delivered.